next thing I wrote was this series of poems based on photo. Like, when I was 20, 21, 22, I was primarily a photographer. I had gallery shows and everything, y'all. And I still had, like, a fuck ton of these photographs that I took. So I wrote all these, like, basically, like, sort of, like, existentially frastic poems from them. And then a week after I finished these poems, my cats pissed on them and destroyed them all. So what follows are a handful of those poems. The first one of which is called, "When I Grow Up, I Want to Be Leonora Carrington." I bet wherever you are right now, you're drinking some rapper's vodka, having a laugh after another minor accident. It's 10 years ago, cardigans and clarinets. I'm in Minnesota, you can rent me. I'm teaching awkwardness at the Iowa School for Nerds. We'd have gone all the way if I hadn't thrown up. I was already balding, reading in bars, bright turquoise t-shirt with the Eiffel Tower on it. Somebody named a martini after that shirt. I'm going to wind up drinking scotch on the rocks, reading book reviews instead of books, going outside every so often to smoke a metaphor. It's Halloween. I'm dressed as a puppet, another metaphor. Remember blue hair? Remember we spent all day staring at the reproduction of nude descending the staircase Joey's parents had hung above their staircase? This place is a shithole. I should have said keep driving. Don't stop. Don't even slow down. I'll puke out the window if I have to puke. This is called Faux Fur Forever. Because there is always waiting for your boyfriend, or for Jesus, or for the inevitable encounter between the two. And it's nice that there are synthetic fur collars to comfort us, both physically and morally, while we wait. This one, by the way, for some reason, the poems in, like, the Hansen and Yggdrasil paintings deal a lot with vomit and gangsters. I've never found a satisfactory explanation for this, but nonetheless, this one is called A Bucket of Puke on a Book of Post-Impressionism. You get a friend to give you a Chelsea, and you take a razor blade to a Harley shirt. What could be simpler? You stick a red flower behind your ear. You drink a lot of Pabst, all bright colors. It's summer, you're a fauvist, and you're unaware that someday soon you'll go work in a fishery in Alaska. You'll come back the following summer, reeking of fish, giving free cocaine to everyone, making sure they know that's salmon coke they're snorting until the money's gone. You'll go back to Alaska, come back again, calmer. You'll sit beside a large machine with many illuminated buttons and talk quietly about the guy who fell off the boat and the beautiful sunsets. And you will always be reading a book with a black cover. You'll have a Smith's tape in your car. That's the only tape in your car. This is the last poem, which is called "Like the Hansen and Yggdrasil Paintings." It's like this. You're drunk. You don't know how it happened. Some girl is dancing, but only between songs. You don't know whose house you're in. You take your shirt off. You write "Kiss Me" on your chest. There's a large tiger flag behind all this. What followed was weird. I was doing all these weird things. I don't know. In the collected Jack Spicer, there's the like questionnaire for the Poetry is Magic workshop. One part of which is this. I forget who the poem is by. It's this poem by this guy with a bunch of shit cut out of it. And the trick is fill in the blanks. So I did. And this poem is therefore called Spicer Practice. One. With the gums gone, democracy teeth are holding free and fair elections, and through the nose is nothing but the eye, the eye, the eye. And now the parade starts. Of the radiator, I say nothing. Why I lie down on the floor is a deep secret, the even row of it, fit to raise corn-headed children. You will count detasseled plants. You will stand in the midst of them. You will know corn-child disputes. You will hear them, in the narrow voice they have, saying insults. Two, in widespread corn youth endlessness, snow, you can't make a man of salt. He lost his shape the time we tried it, the color white. He walks over a lawn to plop on a carpet made to catch him, to eliminate sweeping. Without eyes or thumbs, he suffers, sentient, dissolved salt man, but the corn kids love a salt lick and they quiver. In the salt-covered tongue endlessness, how it stings nice in a wound, his coal eyes all that's left. Snow, no, I told you, salt, a man mismade from it, in the corn, in the snow, in the endlessness. And lately, I have been working on these poems, which are fucking weird. I'm going to read this one, and then two more. This one's called Hardly a Party at All. Essentially, the poems are getting longer and more collage-y. Hardly a Party at All. Absolutely everyone hoping for a streaker right about now. Someone to run naked across the general false solemnity, engage in antic chase with the usual pursuers, during patriotic song, if possible. Head shaken in shame in every state, all across this wide union. Walking into the office of numerous principals. Friend, I got a ring here you're gonna wanna see. Friend, have you considered Pittsburgh's favorite beer and the effect it might have on this establishment? Wake up drunk, wake up drunk. Abrevious babies, Victorian fountain the sophisticated bastards, Brill cream them, and we're gonna need them parasoled, bluebirds preferably. Some kids behind them playing catch with a large lump of coal. They're all sweating. We show the sweat. We zoom in on the sweat, hold on an exhausted face, then go into the sweat and find a water park. Children sliding everywhere in long shorts, cartoon alligators. Now you tell me, what kind of kid isn't going to grow up loving the contemporary era? We got enough to worry about. Half empty. Reaction to it, if this is training, take the wheels off. I have to tip over backwards. Casually dressed, drinking beer in the parking lot of a Catholic church? Yes. It's the decadence of the modern priesthood, combined with rising interest in other forms of magic. He traces magic symbols on the infant who screams. I lean over and say something. Something touching on the demiurge, some ridiculous bit of wickedness at the baptism. Something to get us through this day of ridicule for the idea of institutional advancement. Adapt pinatas to serve as mailbox, expecting postcards and a box of oxygen from the catalog. It's hardly a party at all, and we'll get someone else to answer the questions for you. It's really no problem. We do it for everyone. Did I say two? That was a fucking lie. I meant three. This is I thank you all for indulging me.
No indulging.
I'm gonna wrap it up here in one second. But this is so exactly what I want to be doing with my entire life. That is just, I'm just gonna stretch it out. So all the poems in this book are dedicated to various people who have been or are important in one of a variety of ways. So we will burn through three of them. The first one is dedicated to Frank Sherlock, because I got to make up for that brutal impression somehow, and it's called Drag Me Across the Asphalt Like a Dot, Dot, Dot. I pounded nails into the board and painted people on the nails. The people on the nails were me and you and Robert Desnos. When playing with a dangerous element, pay attention. This is a lot of words that don't belong together. Orange cone, orange cone, orange cone. It's so encouraging that the slogans will be passionately proclaimed as they are drained of substantive content, the better to express our incredibly powerful feelings about not having feelings. Dear rational wealth maximizers, all we know how to do is weep and pay our loans back. When we can't pay them back, we get beaten, and we can never pay them back. So we take poison. Dear poison eaters. We get booed everywhere. It's great. That means people care. Philly will appreciate the fact that the last three lines of that poem are a quote by Yankees first baseman Mark Teixeira. This poem is dedicated to my friend Bela Shaevich, who, if I have my way, you will all know inside of here. He's a fucking genius. And it's called That Giant Stone Eagle Seems to Be Shitting on Us. It's amazing that right then, a car went by, playing, if not your favorite record, at least one you used to own, and there's a constant stream of posters in recognition of that fact, but not a single grown-up anywhere, so that's why I'm smiling. No one's rubbed their career on me in more than 12 hours. Alice didn't order me to be made, though I did ask her to, but she declined, gracelessly, as is her way. Hey, can I unplug you? All of you? Do I have to yank each individual plug, or is there some power strip somewhere? Sign on a lawn. Sorry I'm so long. I'm going to seed. You know what? Old Ukrainian women forever. Crass t-shirts forever. Bees and flowers forever. Forever waiting way out on wide avenues, looking for a bus. Small bodies against big traffic. And this last poem, which I sincerely hope does not make me weep, is dedicated to C.A. Conrad. C.A. Conrad. It's called 4 a.m. is fucking picnic time. I'm in Biarritz with Grace Kelly's granddaughter, sledding down a hill of lavender, when I realize her name's not Catalan for Daisy, it's Latin for dreaming, but fuck semantics. The sledding is incredible. I say, you know, Somnia, some days I feel like I invented everything. Buildings where I left them, sun tracing an arc I traced on graph paper, small details to delight the observant, like this menagerie of mangled cats sleeping under the lavender. And I just want to say you're welcome to fucking everybody, but other days, I'm sure all of this was built to kill me. She smiles. She pulls a scroll of paper from her hair, unrolls it, reads, in a voice stiff with the twin fortunes of Philadelphia and Monaco. Dear Brandon, once you've got back problems, you've got back problems, and that hot ache in your joints is never going away. Love, Connecticut. P.S. Wake up and stay awake until you need to be awake, then sleep. So I'm awake, as always. Coffee explodes across my dear dirty kitchen, my two plastic yellow chairs, my ashtray, my radio conveys the oath made by a local merchant. I will remain celibate until I am the nation's number one used car dealer. I'm awake when normal American humans walk their plastic hair to the corner bar. I'm awake when the local gangsters, who aren't gangsters, just dumb boys with vague gangster aspirations, who tend to trip over their own feet while throwing gang signs, stand outside and hold their nightly debate on the subject resolved. We must be better gangsters. When the normal American humans come back, drunk, and the local gangsters heckle them, I'm awake and reconciled to the gangsters for the time being. I don't think I'll pretend to know things I don't anymore. I'd like to go out, but we're not allowed in the parks at night in New York, so I spread a blanket on the floor and free the ant farm. Thanks for coming out.